you have to have something that people want. You've got to have your promise of value. You have to make sure you take the time to make sure that what you do produces a life-changing outcome. Do they ever have Häagen-Dazs down under? You know the ice cream Häagen-Dazs? Yeah. Well, let me tell you a quick little story about Häagen-Dazs. I remember the first time I tasted Häagen-Dazs. And this was the first time that they had, there was this ice cream with, you know, it was kind of like all natural ingredients, but it was like all cream and, you know, I don't know, whatever they put in this stuff. Hmm. It was just incredible. Like my tongue had an orgasm. You know? I never experienced this before. And I remember calling people and telling them, you got to try this stuff.
So you're a smart business committed to innovation, to service, and to modern marketing. And you're asking, what's next? Wondering how you can become even more innovative. My name is Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and this is the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we share all kinds of tips, advice, and interview guests on all things innovation and leadership in modern marketing. Hi, innovators. It's great to be back. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. I certainly have, with many exciting things happening in our business. I'm really stoked to have on the InnovaBuzz podcast as my guest today, Jamie Greenberg, the chief originologist of A Brand New Way, and an internationally recognized personal branding expert who specializes in business development through innovative branding. He's also the author of an ebook, The Four Truths to Creating A Brand New Way. Jamie and I had a lot of fun discussing mindset and limiting thoughts that get in the way of us being exceptional and how we can shift those to a more resourceful thoughts. We also talked about the four pillars of a personal brand that are your vision, your purpose, your passion, and your values. And we talked about a systematic way to be creative. Without further ado then, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Jamie Greenberg. Hi, I'm your host, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast today from Morristown, New Jersey, which is just a short drive from New York in the USA, Jamie Greenberg. Now, Jamie is the chief originologist at A Brand New Way. He's an internationally recognized personal branding expert. He specializes in business development through innovative branding. He's also the author of an ebook, The Four Truths to Creating a Brand New Way. So welcome to the podcast, Jamie. It's a privilege to have you as a guest.
Thank you, Jürgen. It's a pleasure to be here and meet your wonderful innovators or innerbizzers around the world. Hi, everybody.
Great. Thanks, Jamie. Now, Gigi Bisong, who was on episode 112, introduced me to Jamie and suggested we interview him on the podcast. So big hello to Gigi, and hope she's listening. Now, before she was fun to have on the podcast too. Now, before we start talking about your business and about branding and marketing, let's find out a little bit more about you as a person. So as a young kid, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Well, that's a very interesting question. I wanted to be a stand-up comic.
Okay.
Can you believe that?
Well, that's a novel one. I don't think I've had one of those before.
And I just remember watching the Ed Sullivan Show when I was a kid, a young kid, and I just so enamored with those comics, someone getting up there alone trying to make somebody laugh. And it was something that I aspired to at a very young age, which you know eventually led into my performing, which I did, and we'll talk about a little later, and owning my own entertainment agency.
Okay, so you did actually go into the entertainment industry.
I did, but I found out that the actual standing up in front of a microphone was not my best way of performing. I ended up becoming a mime.
Oh, right.
A mime, but I wasn't silent, and I combined a few different arts forms, storytelling, life-size body puppets, some new vaudeville kind of things. And we were primarily working all around this country and other countries, doing a lot of family children's theater, and booking my show and booking other people's shows. And it was called Imagine If, the Musical Cure for TVitis.
Oh, fascinating.
Yes, we tried to help people spark their imaginations, to turn off their TVs and turn on their imaginations, you know?
Hmm.
So that's what the show was, primarily about.
Which is a little bit what you do today in a brand new way, isn't it? A brand new way. Yeah.
So go ahead. I'm sorry.
You mentioned story there as well, and storytelling is been a theme through what you've done right through to today as well.
Yes, I think as I look back on all my work, creativity and understanding that process, how to harness it and then inspire others to tap into their own creativity, which eventually became originality in its new form today in my work. Originally, I was, you mentioned that I was an originologist, but when I was performing, the character I used was called an imaginologist.
Hmm.
So I graduated from imaginologist to originologist because I became fascinated with the word originality, because I looked at it one day and my whole personal branding business came to life. I saw your originality originates from your origin.
Hmm.
So, being involved in a lot of practical spirituality work, I was inspired by the saying, we were all individualized by the one. So I just was fascinated on how every human being is completely different. And I wanted to be a witness for people who needed help extracting their originality, distilling it, and packaging it, and then try and earn a living with it. Because there's nothing better than earning a living with something you love to do.
Mm, that's right. So, yeah, that's fascinating. Now, you mentioned something about creativity there, and I know in your ebook you talked about A Brand New Way being the name of your company, but also the business system that you've designed. So it's systemizing creativity, which, you know, having built systems for creatives before, I know that one of the big barriers that creatives have with system is the belief that using a system will restrict their creativity. That's always a barrier, I think, that people put in their own way. So talk to us a little bit about that. How do you deal with that?
Well, it's interesting. I, being a creative myself, I understood. I had, I could create a new business every day, and I had so many ideas coming into my head. Someone told me that I had the creative curse because I was overwhelmed with a lot of different things coming into my head. So I designed the system originally to help myself, so I could have a structured way on how to execute an idea. So that's how it all really started to bear fruit. I needed to, compartmentalize all my projects and then have a system that I could run different projects through. And then it became very successful for me. And then I wanted to start teaching it to others and using it to help people get their own ideas off the ground. One of the obstacles that I found in working with people is the fear, doubt, and confusion that people harbor, when they're entering into a new process, a new business, or when they're trying to reinvent something that they already have. If they could be stagnating in a business that they have, and I need to, revision it and figure out the inspiration of why they got into it in the first place. So we work with people on how to distill the stories that are wreaking havoc, in their life and business, because you can't really be a successful entrepreneur when you're working with old stinky paradigms that you're not even conscious of. You have to be able to shift that vibration under a thought, a habit of thought that is preventing you or always accompanying with you in your endeavor, because that's the main thing that crimps your creativity. You don't really have a direct route to your intuition, your inclination, and your inspiration. You have to slip past your ego right into your intuition. You can only do that when you deal with your fears, your doubts, and confusions about what you're doing. Now, a lot of them are just created by default. We're just walking around, you know, with these recycled stories that are running around our heads. So we sit down with the client and we write these down and we examine the vibration under there and we write it again on how we want it to be. And that becomes a practice, like lifting a weight a little bit every morning. You look at all your habits of thought, your negative ones, and we have them write it out and do imaginations, you know, how would you like that to be? So they start developing a new groove. And now you're open to your origin, where your all the good stuff is. So you can bring it down and begin to document it. I'm a big fan of, you know, you have to ask and then you receive, because like you mentioned before, Jürgen, and just cut me off when you want to come in, but the creativity is a random process. And most people, I find, try to do this linearly. You know, it's a collection of beginning, middles, and ends that you have to gather without thinking about the how first. Hmm. You have to give yourself permission to have an intentional creative process. So in the second phase, I call it, I have a couple of names here that we're using, gorgeous chaos, because ideas are gorgeous and they're chaotic and you're trying to harvest them and bring them all in. So we came up with an idea management system on how to begin to bring those in, document them, and again, that word's coming up, compartmentalize them into different folders. So eventually, when you're going back to create your signature solution system, which is the heart of the whole program, you can go back into these myriad of ideas. And we do, I have them taking photographs. I have them doing 30-second videos to capture their inspiration. There is so much in there. They're amazed. When you start writing down what's coming out of your brain, it's phenomenal. If you take the time to document what's coming down from your origin.
Yeah, there's a lot of great advice in that. And I love that I had written down here, the second thing that excited me was what you point out in the ebook, and you've just spoken to that, the mindset and dealing with the limiting beliefs or negative stories that we tell ourselves and that we kind of carry around with ourselves as dead weight.
It's crippling. I added this in because I just saw, we ended up speaking about so many other things than their business, about what was preventing them from doing the business. You know, that there's or even if they're in business, there are things from moving ahead because they're not creating possibility. They're not opening up their imaginations and, you know, so they can receive what it is they really want. You know, a visionary. We try to get people in the visionary capacity, you know, so they can start to vision what it is they really want or where they want to be, even if it's impossible.
Hmm. So in the ebook, you talk about the four pillars of your personal brand, and I think, you know, you've touched on some of those already. So tell us more about those.
Well, this also happens in the first phase too. Again, when you're managing, you know, your fears and some of these stories, and then, you know, you're starting to get a hint of what it's like to be a little bit more intimate with your intuition. Now you can start to vision, because every great entrepreneur, you need a vision. You need a vision to plant into the universe. You need a vision to go to. You need a vision to begin to tell people what it is that you want to do. Like Martin Luther King did not have a plan. He had a vision, a dream, you know, something that people can hang on to, believe in, you know, to believe in what they believe. So once you have your vision, all of a sudden what starts to happen is your purpose is born, because you need your purpose to support your vision. And once you have your purpose, your passion fuels your purpose. You know, it's the engine that runs your purpose. It gives you the reason to get up in the morning. And the fourth one is just simply the values on how you want to live your life and do your business. This is very important, you know, because people, you can design. I'm not just talking about integrity and being a good person. I'm talking about, do I want to travel with my business? Do I want to work out of my house? How am I going to achieve the balance between my family and my life? You know, what kind of specialized knowledge resources do I want to attract, you know, into my life that I want to seek out? So you can start visualizing how you want to set up your business. So those are the four pillars of the personal brand. So you begin to your vision, your purpose, your passion, and your values.
Mm. What I really like about that is you take what, I mean, a lot of people talk about start with why, you know, the Simon Sinek book.
I love him. I can't. That's what, you got to find people who believe in what you believe is the best marketing thing.
But you take it to a deeper level. You know, you talk a little bit about values there, and I've been doing quite a bit of work recently with some people around values and looking at values that are in conflict with one another and perhaps conflicting with the purpose and the vision that they have for their own life or their own business. And some of that comes back to, you know, negative stories or limiting beliefs that people have. But to change, to actually make a change at that level, the transformation that can come about is quite amazing.
Yeah, I like that word you used, conflict.
Yeah.
I never thought of it that way, but it's absolutely true that people are having this war within themselves practically.
Hmm.
Because, you know, they want it one way, but they're so locked into a way of living and doing something for so long that to make that transformation, you know, and all a transformation is the first step is just taking a beginning. You have to begin. You have to show up, start showing up for that transformation in some way, shape, or form. So I like the word. I like the word conflict. That's good.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I talked in last week's podcast where I did a solo episode, I talked about one of my own goals where there clearly is a values conflict, and I'd never really thought about it in that way before. And when I started thinking about that values conflict, because there's a conflict between the challenge of achieving a big event, which will be physically quite demanding, and the other value of enjoyment out of that activity. So, you know, clearly they're in conflict because I've sort of stepped back from doing that particular event because I know I won't enjoy it. So there's a values conflict there. And it's interesting when I then, and you used the words yourself just a few moments ago, if you just show up every day and take it in small steps, it may actually make change and may actually propel you towards a goal that seems overwhelming because there is a conflict there. And if you're aware of the conflict, you can deal with that as well.
Yeah, that's great, Jürgen. I had I have a thing that I have, a phrase that I use, you know, run towards the thing that scares yet thrills you the most. You know, first I had just run towards the thing that scares you the most. And my wife said, you know, it's really not that. It's run towards the thing that scares yet thrills you the most because you really, really want to do it. But, you know.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So there's to be a
comfortability about it, you know, that you're working through, but it's, you know, titillating and exciting. And
yeah. So you've got to have a motivation towards the thing, whatever it is.
Yes.
That's great. Yeah. So for me, that was an interesting kind of reflection. And, you know, it's a metaphor because what I started thinking was the, you know, just show up. All I have to do is just show up every day. And at some point, I may not sabotage myself getting to a level of fitness where I perhaps could enjoy it, where perhaps that values conflict wasn't there. And I thought, well, where else is that showing up in my life and in my business? So that can be quite a confronting question. So I imagine you
kind of deal with those sort of things when you work with people on the vision, purpose, passion, and values?
Yeah, and I'm always dealing with them in my own life just to facilitate my own freaking growth, you know, because you have to embrace the first time of doing stuff where there's no growth. And you have to understand that that's just part of the process. That there are going to be times where that attempt is going to be the stepping stone for your success. So you have to embrace the steps that you need to move to the next step. And a lot of times when you're speaking or you're performing or you're teaching, whenever you're a thought leader of any kind of way, you're always going to be confronted with these circumstances, but you're always testing out new ideas, new concepts, new things, and you're always in that position. So I try to embrace it the best I can. And we all have to try our best and have some faith that when we're there, we'll receive what we need and we'll be able to relax into the full beingness of who we are, because we just want to be there loving them up, right?
Yeah.
And when we're relaxed and you're open to receive, you can allow the good stuff to come through, and usually that works the best.
Well, you mentioned earlier about ego and ego getting in the way, and I guess being relaxed kind of keeps the ego, well, the ego's relaxed. It's not threatened.
Well, it's Jürgen, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. For me, it's all about vibration. And vibration is sensitive, but it's not fragile. So wherever we are at in our own beingness, we're vibrating on a certain frequency. And when we're conscious of that frequency and it's not feeling comfortable, we do have an ability to respond to that and pivot and pick the better thought. Move into a different vibration. We can create that moment. You know, there's a cliche about creating your own reality, but in that little microcosm, it really is really truthful. You know, you're not feeling good. You stop, you observe how you're feeling. And in that moment, you can actually pivot and pick a better thought and move your feeling into a better place. Just by smiling, sometimes I'll just smile and I start feeling a little better.
Yeah. Or you think of something positive. It's an interesting point you raise. And I think it often comes back to the meaning that we assign to events that happen. So, I mean, the classic example is if you get rejected. Let's say somebody says, yes. Well, I don't like your idea. I don't think it's going to work. And you kind of assign a meaning to that that unconsciously essentially is, well, he's just told me he doesn't like me, which, you know, most of the times it doesn't mean.
No, it's just the story that we have about it.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's not very truthful. You can see the incredible unworthiness that we hold in our beingness from other things that we've accumulated along the way. It's so absurd and ridiculous when you think about it. It would prevent us from doing something that we want to do, or if we want to serve somebody, we want to do so. What, people not going to forgive us for failing a couple of times or taking a chance or doing something? And I've seen straitjacket people. And that's why, you know, that first part, who are you really, is like so important. And people don't even understand it's important sometimes till I start to speak to them about it, you know.
Yeah, and of course, a lot of people, particularly in business, you see this a lot, are They lack the confidence to be themselves, and so they pick a model, which is all fine, but instead of saying, well, what's that model strategy? What can I learn from that model? What can I adapt that might work for me? And what can I change with my own particular flair? They basically try to copy the model. And so you get all these people in business who say, oh, there's another one of those clones of person X.
Well, you know, this is why you had a question here. I was reading. I don't know exactly where it was, but I'll try to paraphrase it. It was about how do you become innovative? How do you know you're becoming innovative picking something, you know, that is worthy, that's going to have some kind of that's going to sell out in the marketplace? Well, this is why it's an inside job. You know, in the beginning, you want to do your competitive research. You want to see what's out there. You want to gather everything. And that's part of our process here. We look at what everybody else is doing in someone's niche. And, you know, we're pulling out products. We're pulling out sound bites. We're pulling out everything just so we have a scope of the market, so we can then go back and say, well, how are we going to position ourselves to be different here? Okay, but the difference really comes in that place. Like Sting always said, before he goes into the studio to do an album, he turns off the radio for 3 months. You know, he wants to hear what's coming down from his higher self. You know, those ideas are your golden nuggets. So that's why we have that idea management system. You know, and once you have those ideas, you have, you know, the third step in the system is I call it ideation orchestration, but it's really a product development section, because we're going back into all those ideas and we're creating a step-by-step process-dependent system that produces an exceptional result. So you're going into your idea management system and you're pulling out your major content themes. Okay, and I have a piece of software that does this for people where you're looking at what could be the first step that's going to help this person, the second step, the third step, and the fourth step, and that exceptional result should be your brand name, and the tagline should describe what your brand does. And we always encourage people to put their name right above their brand name. So it's Jamie Greenberg's A Brand You Way, Turning Originality into Business. And that is the trunk of your tree. That stays clear, constant, and consistent across all your social media platforms. And I can't tell you how many people leave out the trunk, leave out the hub of their wheel. And brilliant people who they come to me with books, with workshops, they're all named something else. And it's a mishmash. And they're making a lot of money, but they don't know how much money they really can make if they just start developing some equity, you know, in their brand, especially with the gift of the internet that we have today to build up our equity, because everyone can have their own network today. You know, where 10 years ago, you know, TV owned everything. Now we can have our own TV stations. We can have our own podcast. Yeah. We have a world audience. But you have to have something that people want. You've got to have your promise of value. You have to make sure you take the time to make sure that what you do produces a life-changing outcome. Did they ever have Häagen-Dazs down under? You know, the ice cream Häagen-Dazs? Do they have it?
Yeah, I do know it. I'm not sure, actually, you've challenged me there. I'm not sure we've had it a lot down under. It certainly was popular when I used to travel a lot in Asia. In fact, several people that worked for me in China were huge Häagen-Dazs fans.
But, yeah. Well, let me tell you a quick little story about Häagen-Dazs. I remember the first time I tasted Häagen-Dazs, you know, and this was the first time that there was this ice cream with, you know, it was kind of like all natural ingredients, but it was like all cream and, you know, I don't know, whatever they put in this stuff. It was just incredible. Was my tongue had an orgasm. You know, I never experienced this before. And I remember calling people and telling them, you got to try this stuff. And I tell this story because I want, when people leave my my engagement. I want their product, their system, whatever we create with them, to have that kind of feeling where you taste it, you feel it, and you sense that exceptional result. You want to tell people, because then you can go out and sell it just from your passion, because your passion convinces people that it's good.
Mm.
It's so authentic.
Yeah.
So that's what we all try to go for. And I am a believer, after working with many people here with this and being involved in my own creative projects. And, you know, I was in my family owned a toy manufacturing business, and I was in, you know, marketing and licensing and did all the inventor relations. So I understand, you know, how an idea has value and how to make sure that the product has enough margin in it to make money too, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
So content is king. Content, yeah. That's the thing. You know, that's what I'm saying. Content is your product. Spend time on your product. You know, your marketing, your sales will be so much easier when you know and you spent the time to do a little focus group and, you know, try things out and, oh, wow, I have something unique here. You know, It'll come. It comes when you take the time.
Yeah, that's, there's a lot of stuff to unpack there, but I'm just wrote down here the Haagen-Dazs effect, which we might be able to use that as a story or a metaphor. But basically, it comes back to, you know, leaving your customer with an experience that essentially they rave about. They can't help but go out and tell other people about it. So they're doing their marketing for you.
Thank you. Thank you. That is that's a way of expressing that. Yeah.
Now, one of the things, I think this was in the ebook you point out, and I saw that it kind of stood out for me because this is something that I really push very hard with all my clients, and that's the concept that the smaller your niche, the bigger your business. And then following on from that, really getting to know that target market or if it's a presentation, getting to know the audience.
Absolutely.
Or the ideal customer. So we have a tool that we can link to in the show notes, but basically it's a questionnaire that walks people through that. But tell us a little bit about how you approach that.
Well, I think the best way for me to work this with a client is when we do our competitive research, which is fairly extensive, as I'm a big believer, you have to understand the landscape of your industry to understand where you want to live in it. Because again, I can't tell you how many people write books, come up with this, come up with that, and there are 50 other people doing it the same way. So what good is that? And how are you going to know how to position yourself unless you go out there and see what's on the shelf?
Mm.
So I like to work back off the shelf. I like to find out that spot, you know, where I can say, you know, I can plus this and make this better. You know, so like when I was in the toy business and we used to go to Walmart, we always had to give them a reason for being, you know, a rationale to take that off the shelf and put our stuff in there. And if you don't have that rationale, there's no way they're going to take it off, because he has to go back and sell it to his district guy, you know?
Yeah.
So it becomes very, very obvious. I don't think people understand, you know, even when you're picking a niche, you can pick it, but you don't know if it's cluttered if you don't go out and understand who's in it. And there's so much valuable information from learning from people who've already been in the business that you want to get into. Or you always want to keep tabs on your competitors and your colleagues, and you can even use them as resource partners and partner. In fact, one of the questions that you wrote here, you said, well, what are one of the one things that you would like to do with your business, you know, that you haven't done yet or where you'd like to grow into? And I would love to be able to collaborate with people who have specialized knowledge that would complement what I do.
Hmm.
I'm always looking for, because again, I'm primarily a solopreneur at this point in my life, but I love collaborating with people and finding projects, you know, where I can work with people. I'm always looking for that. Very important for solopreneurs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great advice. And also, I mean, I do quite a bit of that as well, and it's enormous fun. I mean, it gives me a great sense of satisfaction working with somebody else as sort of, as you said, building complementary or bringing together complementary skills to add value to a target market.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Yeah. Mm. That's the way I'd like to, that's what I'm looking for. You know, Jürgen, one of the benefits of working with a system, I encourage everyone to become a publisher of their own originality. I want to move them into a thought leadership capacity where they're, when you start beginning to document your perspective on your industry, your epiphanies, your revelations, and start consolidating that into a system, you know, that can really benefit somebody, you really position yourself as a thought leader in your community. And when you have a system to sell from, a methodology that's branded, you know, from that, you know, it births all your high touch products like your seminars, your workshops, and your podcast, because you have all your subjects there, because we have four major content themes and each major content thing is fed in with four minor content themes. So you really have like 20 subjects, you know, that you can base your whole editorial calendar for your social media on. They're the subjects for your seminar. You know, that we do a how part, we do a whole Bible, you know, based on that signature systems. It's a more in-depth take on all the subject titles. So that can be used in your workshops. But then we have all your online things with, you know, your podcast, your educational course online, your video series. So we look for the multiple streams of income that are all coming out from that solution system outline. But essentially, you're positioning yourself as the thought leader in that industry. So, you know, now you can go approach different conferences. There's so many other places you can sell now because you're specializing and have harnessed this intellectual property now. So you're not like coaching or consulting by the hour. You have a methodology, like somebody would create a piece of software that you can use this intellectual property now, you know, to raise the profile of your personal brand.
Yeah, that's great advice. I love systems and frameworks and being able to set them up like that and essentially turn them into a product and a system that will apply in your specific niche and as you say, then building the marketing around that to become the thought leader because, hey, we've developed this system that no one else has. It adds huge value to the target market.
Exactly.
Addresses the needs that the target market has, which, you know, comes back to the point of having to be really clear about what those needs are and who your target market is.
Well, if you like, I can, you know, I have just the printout from mine. I could just, you know, if you want, I can send it to you. You can send it out to people. You can see the layout of it on how it all formats. It's very simple, but it's easy to sell from too, because when you're walking into a place, when they see a chart on how it all feeds into, you know, your brand, and it prints out in text version too, you can take your event planner, or if you want to go in and do a corporate program, you know, I always tell them go in and do an overview of the four major content themes and then work up a program for a year where you come back and you go in depth into the first content theme, the second content theme, the third and the fourth. And now you can offer a whole program, you know, for $30,000, $50,000 when you walk in. So you're not just, you know, wetting their whistle. You can go in there and start doing a comprehensive thing. And you could even supplement them with, you know, webinars and, you know, from your home or from wherever. So there's a lot of benefits and upsell. Just from the signature, people want to come, they say, let me, I want to write a book. I said, don't write the book. Write the outline. The outline will facilitate, can be repurposed, you know, into all your stuff. And most importantly, the editorial calendar for your social media. You have it all there. You can bank your material for a month or two, you know, so you could just feed it out, but it's all connected to your system.
Hmm. Yeah, that's great advice. And I'd definitely love to get that document. So if you send me a link or something, we'll post a link and share it with the audience. I'm sure that they'll find that really helpful.
I will. I'll send it to you after we're done.
Okay. Appreciate that.
Is that okay? I don't know if I can get my right now.
All right. I'm really enjoying this discussion, but I'm mindful of the time. So I think it's time that we move on to the buzz, which is our innovation round. And it's designed to help our audience, who are primarily innovators and leaders in their field, with some tips from your experience. Now, we have covered some of this, but if you can give us a bit of a snapshot again. So I've got 5 questions, and hopefully we'll get some really insightful answers from you that will inspire people to go and do something awesome today.
Sure.
So, I'm ready. So what's the number one thing anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
Well, like I said, it's an inside job. I would encourage everybody to look at the habits of thought that are preventing them from growing or starting their business, and take the conscious time to get in touch with their intuition. So you're starting to feel where you are original. And then become a document fiend. Begin to start to write down all the beginning, middles, and ends. Forget about the logic. You know, don't worry about the how. Just collect all those things. And then spend a couple of weeks. Give yourself permission to do an intentional creative process and just see how much stuff, how brilliant you are. You know, you'll just be amazed of how fast it starts coming down when you start asking for it and just allowing it to come, and you're clear. And look at that thing in there, and you'll have so much stuff. And then you get into the critical thinking, and then just start to begin to organize it into a step-by-step system that produces an exceptional result that either can accompany your product or begin the foundation or the why of why, the inspiration behind your product. Because you'll buy a painting so much faster if you know why the guy painted it. So always know the inspiration behind what you do, because that's so important to selling anything that you create.
And great.
Yourself as a publisher, you know, so you can become a thought leader in what you do. And that's just documenting and writing down as you're going along. You know, people want to know your process and how you became what you're going to be.
Lots of great advice there. I really love the writing down and writing it down as the story that you actually want to happen in modules, if you like. I find that writing those things down really does clarify a lot of stuff. So I think
it's like in the shower, in the car, you know, it's like, you don't know when it's going to come.
Yeah,
like,
that's
you
right.
You don't know when it's going to come, and you don't know which one is going to be the one that's, you know, sometimes you're stuck and you think, but you know, it's coming because you ask, you will get it. You just have to be prepared and conscious.
So I think you've probably answered the second question, which is what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas? I think you flowed seamlessly into that.
Yeah. It's the acknowledgement of the brilliance that we all are, and taking the time and the recognition to document it and then begin to let it organically grow into a product or system, you know, that's going to facilitate, you know, all your products. And that's what it is.
And I think I know the answer to the third one. What's your favorite tool or system for improving productivity and allowing you to be more innovative? Because you built one for yourself, didn't you?
Yeah, it's the signature solution system. And that part of the software that I developed, I call it the manifestation constellation, you know, because to me it looks like a constellation, but I got the idea from the tree because of the trunk and all the branches and, you know, I was looking at the tree and I'm saying, God, how intelligent is that tree? It grows roots into the ground in a way, it finds its own architecture to support itself.
Mm.
Yeah. And that's sort of the way you, when you see the, you know, it's you'll see the thing that I, it's very simple, but it, it feels like a tree that and all the roots are connecting to the middle. And, it, you know, it, it's kind of growing down and up at the same time, but it never stops getting creative, but you never lose why you're doing what you're doing. You know, you, you understand the essence of your vision, and that, you know, that, that should be like the four pillars. It, it should be all in that, in your personal brand there.
Hmm. Great advice. All right. Now, the next one is, what's the best way to keep a project or a client on track?
Well, this is interesting. I work two ways. This might be helpful for some people. I do custom-based project, you know, which is, it falls more in the consulting end, where I'm holding the hand of the client. You know, we do assessments and downloads of their ideas. I put them on a idea management track, the Gorgeous Chaos track, right from the beginning. So they become setting up and asking for their ideas. They start receiving, they start documenting, they start that. That goes through the whole process. But you know, I'm doing most of the competitive research. We do the organization of their ideas based on, you know, intake, and we help them. We actually take those ideas and help them work it into a system, and then we create a business model for them to start to begin to go out and grab the low-hanging fruit so they can see the application really starting to take hold. And then the other thing is I do a hybrid of, you know, coach consulting, where I run people through the system, and there are exercises that I leave them with and reflection questions, and it's a 1 hour session, and we're running through all the things. So a lot of people are in a place where they're self-starters. They can handle assignments. They can keep integrity to themselves. And those people can do it themselves. And it's very beneficial to use me as a facilitator. You know, they do their homework and they start moving through the system very, very nicely. You know, that's about a 6 to 8 week program.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, and sounds like structure is really important there, which we know you've put into place.
You have to be compliant. Look, we all know that it, you know, if you're not compliant, nothing gets done. Mm. And you know, this is a big problem with a lot of people. So, usually when you work with someone, it's easier to have accountability. I encourage everybody to have a witness for what they do to keep them on track. I have a coach, you know, I work with someone who it's very difficult when you're in your own head, in your own business, not to have feedback on what you're doing.
Hmm. Yeah. Great advice.
It's dangerous. It's almost dangerous.
And final question of the buzz is, what's the number one thing anyone could do to differentiate themselves? And we've talked quite a bit about that.
Yeah, well, again, this is we're going to take a more metaphysical approach to this. Again, we all come in to this incarnation as, you know, we're all finite personalities. And the self-discovery of who we are is why we're here. We have to find out who we are and how we're different from the rest of the humans on this planet. And that to me is the whole game. And just elevate out of the body sometimes, look down, and just see the magnificence of who you really are and go with it. And that's the life, the Planet Earth Workshop.
Hmm.
Isn't it? We're always evolving and growing and just enjoy the ever expanding unfolding of who we are. And, you know, as Abraham Hicks says, you know, you never get it wrong. You never get it done. It's not a race.
Yeah.
It's never going to get done. So be in the moment, be present, and and just receive what it is you're asking for, and have some faith, and it'll evolve you. Just be with who you are.
All right, great advice. Thanks for getting us through the buzz. So what's the future for Jamie Greenberg then, and for A Brand New Way?
Oh, you know, I work with, I've enjoyed, doing all this one-on-one work. It's very, very satisfying. And about a year ago, I got the buzz to really want to start to do more talking about what I did. And I was also getting another buzz talking about the full expression of one's originality. I had all my performing that was kind of parked for a long time. And I wanted to, I had these four overviews for my system. And I was looking around the way people were doing their presentations with the PowerPoints and the whole things. And I said, I have this ability, this talent. I want to pepper it, with my speaking engagements to get out there so I can, work one on many, And so I recently finished my showinar. I came up with the term. It's like a talk performance. It's a showinar. And that's the link that I just sent you, Jürgen. Okay. So we just finished the pages for that. And in fact, that's how I got hooked up with Michael Mabes in his agency.
Right.
And so that's what's on my next agenda. I just want to get back into my performance a little bit and be able to communicate in a very unique way what it is that I do, and show people what A Brand New Way is all about and how to turn your originality into business and in this expression.
All right. Well, we look forward to that, and definitely share the link to the show in our notes that you've sent me. I did see something on your website, so there's plenty of resources that people can look at to learn more about that.
Oh yeah, if anybody's interested in just testing the waters and seeing what I'm all about, or we offer a free 30-minute Kickstarter session. It's just sort of a meet and greet. There's a form to fill out. It's a Get Started Now form. You fill that out and we'll schedule a time. And I'd love to meet anybody out there that has an idea that they'd like to get moving, or any established entrepreneur who's thirsting for a new vision, to grow their business. Love to help.
Okay, so we'll have links to your website. So that's on your website, right? We'll have links to that.
Yes, all that
in
stuff
the show notes. I know you've got also an ebook, The Four Truths, A Brand New Way. The Four Truths for Creating A Brand New Way is on the website as well. People can download it from there. And where else can people reach out and thank you for you've shared?
There's a good video right on my homepage header that can give people an overview of what I do. That's pretty cool. And the best way, everything you need to get in touch with me is on the website, and it's pretty comprehensive. And
all right,
I would just start there and reach out.
Great. We'll post a link to that. It's abrandnewway.com in the show notes. So what's the number one piece of advice you'd give to any business owner who wants to be a leader in innovation and in productivity?
Okay. Let me ponder for like about 2.5 seconds. Okay. I got something. Be fiercely attached to your vision. When inspiration comes, don't doubt the sacred place where it came from, because you and you alone are the only one who got that idea, that piece of inspiration. And it would really be a disservice to your existence on this planet if you did not follow that inspiration. We're here to follow the inspiration that we get. So my advice is go with it full force, listen to what's coming down for you, and just experience the experience. Explore the full expression of your originality. Use every bit of it because it's your golden nuggets. Nobody's getting it except you. So don't doubt for a second that it's not supposed to be acted on.
That's fabulous. In fact, I think I might steal that. It's so good.
Go ahead.
Yeah, love it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. All right. Finally, then, who would you like me to interview on a future Nova Buzz podcast and why?
Oh, that's an interesting question. That's a great question. Oh, my God. Who would I like you to interview? Stormy Daniels.
Oh, okay. You know, can you introduce us?
Oh boy. No, let me think. Who would be cool? Who would really be cool? Who would be cool? You know who would be great? I know who would be great on your podcast, Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey, the comic?
Yeah, I do. Well, I don't know him, but
Very,
I know
he
of him.
He has a whole other beautiful personal growth and spiritual side to him that is beautiful. He's very articulate and supportive of the creative process, and he would be great because he shares his. He's also a painter, an extraordinary painter.
Mm.
So I would love you to get Jim Carrey, and I don't have any connections there, but
okay. All right.
I know some people that aren't as famous as that would make good guests. So I can think about those people and throw them your way.
Okay. Well, we'll see what we can do about Jim Carrey. I don't suppose you're listening to this, Jim, but if you are, look out for an email invitation from us to the In Over Buzz podcast, courtesy of Jamie Greenberg.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So thanks, Jamie, for sharing your time and insights with us today on the In Over Buzz podcast. It's been fun. I've learnt a lot, and you've been very generous with outlining your system and strategies and describing some of the ways that you approach working with your clients and dealing or building ideas from their vision, their purpose, and really pushing them to growth. So I really appreciate that, and I wish you all the best for the future, and let's keep in touch.
Thank you, Jürgen, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to share with your wonderful, incredible, brilliant audience, and I know they are, and looking forward to doing it again sometime.
All right. Thanks very much.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Wasn't that exciting and inspirational? I'm a big fan of systems and frameworks for the creative process, and Jamie has developed a really neat one that he shared with us. I hope you enjoyed hearing from Jamie too. All the ideas and tips that Jamie shared with us can be found at innovabiz.co, that's co/Jamie Greenberg, that is JAMIEGREENBERG. All lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.co/Jamie Greenberg. You'll also find contact information for getting in touch with Jamie there, as well as links to his website. And also, Jamie is offering to our listeners a complimentary 30-minute Kickstarter session to work on your business or personal brand. And the link is in the show notes for that as well. Jamie suggested, and this is a big ask, that we interview the actor Jim Carrey, who is doing some amazing things in the personal growth space as well as his acting, on a future In Over Buzz podcast. So Jamie, that is a little ambitious. Let's see what we can do. So Jim, or perhaps Jim's publicist, keep an eye on your inbox for an invitation from us to the InnovaBiz, the InnovaBuzz podcast. I'm getting nervous already. Courtesy of Jamie Greenberg. Stay connected. Head on over to iTunes or Stitcher or Pocket Casts and subscribe to the InnovaBuzz podcast so you make sure you'll never miss another episode. We'd also love you to leave us a review because what you think matters. Take some of the ideas you've heard today and apply them in your business. Any thoughts, ideas, suggestions or questions, share them in the comments below the blog post. And remember, if you want to get better marketing results than you ever have, join our fantastic LinkedIn community at the Transformational Marketing Academy. All you have to do is go to innovabiz.co/TMAC. It's free to join. Hope to see you there soon. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember to be awesome and keep innovating.